this is how crazy I was. Somebody asked me, they said, well, how do you get buy-in from your staff, you know, as you're making this huge change effort? And I said, look, the fastest way to teach people how to dance is to shoot bullets at their feet. I thought, just throw people in the deep end and they got to sink or swim.
The Breakthrough Moments Podcast, equipping you with powerful lessons for professional success and personal freedom. Mistakes, everyone makes them. The question is, will you let them limit your potential or make them a breakthrough moment? We learn from experience, perseverance, and the wisdom of others. Get ready to hear from influential leaders as they share their own breakthrough moments. Here's your host, the Mindset Catalyst, Jeff Kozatek.
My guest today is Rhonda Gray with Insperity. She's on a mission to help entrepreneurs and nonprofit leaders add the most value and make the greatest contribution to improve our community. She is especially committed to helping women and minority business owners succeed.
I was working as executive director of a nonprofit, it's called Almost Home, and leading a large-scale change effort. And it was supposed to be a really good thing because we'd received some significant funding over 4 years to make some really massive changes to the organization, to this capacity and infrastructure. I got so excited about it and went full speed ahead in trying to communicate this to my staff and all the stakeholders. And I will tell you, I fumbled the ball. I did not realize it then, but I did not do a very good job of painting the picture of the future that I was envisioning. And even though we had all these resources and all this additional support, those were the longest 4.5 years of my life trying to lead that change effort because I was misguided in how I went about it. I think I had the perception as a leader of the organization, particularly since it was nonprofit, we were dealing with clients who had some very tragic issues. I had staff who were also, you know, struggling in many ways. And I wanted to appear to be the invincible leader, the strong leader. And even though I could see some good things that were happening and wanted to move forward with those, I believe I came across as being sort of this solo visionary that was bigger than life. And, you know, I learned that when you outshine people, it makes them insecure. And if you're 3 steps in front of people, you're a leader. But if you're 5 steps in front of them, you become a target. And people will be maliciously compliant. And if you work against their own feelings of significance, they'll work against whatever it is you're trying to put in place. And so I learned that the hard way, but I completely take responsibility because of my overzealousness and my excited, you know, I'm going to change the world. And we got all these resources. I left some people behind. And that's not leadership. I think the mindset that I have as I look back on it was I was so focused on the overall success of what we were doing in a change initiative that I wasn't invested enough in the individual successes of my team members and making them feel good about what we were doing. Therefore, they didn't buy in.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Tell me about the fallout or how being so focused on the goal or so focused on the vision that you lost touch with or you were disconnected with the boots on the ground, so to speak, with where you're at. Mm-hmm. How did that impact the organization? How did that impact you?
I mean, from an organizational standpoint, it impacted overall the success of the organization in terms of achieving its mission. And I mean, I think this would have applied whether it was for-profit or non-profit, but you know, we happen to have clients that we were serving and there was a great need. I also had a board of directors who I was reporting to. And so not being able to move forward or constantly having to redirect and try things, or we were kind of being regressed, I should say, in our progress, I think it ultimately impacted the people, how we served the people, the number of people we could have served. So I took it very personally. I mean, because I felt like the work was urgent. I think any business that's trying to affect change in the world and in people's lives, whether it's your customers or, you know, consumers or clients, that work is important enough. If it's important enough to be done, you want to make sure that you're being as effective and efficient as possible. And my sort of misguided approach to that change effort cost us a lot of time and potentially our ability to help a lot of people. Mm.
Well, you're talking about with unfulfilled potential, right? Like that sounds like, yes. Like you saw a lot of potential in the organization and what you could do.
I became the bottleneck in fulfilling potential. That's why I'm so committed to doing that in a different way now, because I realize when you are in a leadership role, it is very easy, even when you're well-intentioned, you become the bottleneck. You actually become the impediment to the progress you're trying to make.
Get a handle on stress in the work-life balancing act. Jeff Kozatek, the Mindset Catalyst, empowers top performers to achieve more professional success and personal freedom. He will equip you with tools and a mindset to self-assess and course-correct through life's challenges. Jeff offers individual coaching for business owners as well as organizations who want to improve their communication and productivity culture. Imagine the future. Discover the possibilities. Take bold action. CoreAuthenticity.com.
That was such a harsh lesson. When I tell you, that was a real, put me in the lion's den, the fire pit, whatever you want to name, whatever you want to call it. And I came out of it after, it took a lot of reflection. It took me having to be open to some real honest feedback and coaching. And what I now, my approach now, and you know, I'm not leading an organization per se, but I still consider myself a leader. But my goal and my intention every day is to help people feel more powerful and help them feel better about themselves in my presence than they would have otherwise. And so I really look at my life, as I said, is being more of a beacon of trying to make sure that I am elevating and edifying people always and not necessarily focused on my end goal and outcome of what I'm trying to achieve. You know, I think that that's important. So my empathy gene was already, you know, I would say I was empathetic, but now it's I think I ooze empathy because I'm looking at everything from another person's perspective and another person's point of view. And I think that I know because of human nature, people want to personally feel significant and feel like they matter. And so I set out to do that. And if it results in a business relationship, a sale or whatever, that's just icing on the cake. But my goal is to really see how I can add value to people and help them feel personally significant.
Mm. All right. I gotta write that down. I love that. Oozing empathy.
I think every leader, if you're going to be effective as a leader, because there are leaders who they have the pretense of success. It looks like they're, you know, their companies are making money or they're doing whatever. But I think the real value is in your ability, not necessarily to be empathetic in terms of people think it's standing in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah.
But that's not, to me, real empathy. Yeah, you have to stand in their shoes, but it's imagining what it's like for them to stand in their shoes. Right? It's a little nuanced, but it's very different. I can imagine what it's like to be Jeff and standing in your shoes doing a podcast, but it's a whole different perspective to say, okay, Jeff is in that role. He's in that position. He's doing this now. What might he be experiencing and how can I help support him?
Ooh.
I've just taken a different sort of approach to empathy and empathy 2.0.
Ha!
I mean, leadership is really about rallying people to a better future. I think leaders are inherently sort of, you know, restless for change and want to, you know, they're dissatisfied with the status quo. Like whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you want to see something different than what the current reality is.
Yeah.
And so what leaders are often better at is seeing that better future. But you really have to create a dynamic tension of making sure that people understand why this existing reality, we need to move from that because people are living in their existing reality. And it is the status quo is intoxicating. Like, who likes to change? We'll find all kind of reasons to say, nope, this is fine right here.
Yeah. So you said earlier, beforehand, you were very focused on the vision and you missed the people. And now you're focusing on the people and not so much on the vision. So if I'm a leader, or if I'm a business owner, I'm saying, hey, I still have a bottom line I got to take care of. I still have products to deliver. I still have a service to offer. You know, I'm doing something. Are you saying that by focusing on the people, that the vision will naturally play itself out and will naturally move towards pumping out the product and service, or something else?
What I'm saying is you have to make the connections and connect the dots between the vision itself and then people's individual values, desires, wants. You know, everybody acts out of their own self-interest. So, you know, to try to use like the analogy, if I'm trying to convince you that we should go on a trip and I say, look, we got to go to LA and we, you know, we're going to go on this trip, right? So that's the vision. We're going to go on this trip. It's going to be fun. Well, I might have in my mind where I want us to go. How I connect the dots for you is I say, hey, Jeff, what do you like to do? Like, what kind of tours do you like to go on? You know, what makes for a good experience for you when you're traveling? So I'm going to find out personally more about what you value and what's important to you and connect that to the vision. So if you say, look, I love the beach. I love going to wineries. Jeff, there's a great winery in LA. Wait till you see it. It's going to be, you know, we're going to have this and they got all these different kind of, you know, I love the beach. Oh my God. Yes. We got 6 beaches we could go to. So now what's personally meaningful and relevant to you is connected to the vision. That's what I neglected to do. I was all about the vision. Look how great this is going to be when we achieve this. Now y'all just need to work harder and get us there.
Y'all just need to get on board. Come on. But I get it. As somebody that gets really passionate about the change you want to instill or the direction you're going, the passion can become incredibly intoxicating.
Mm-hmm. You can be blinded by the passion. That's why I said I was well intentioned. I don't think that I really know that it was in my heart. I feel like this work is urgent. We were dealing with homeless women and children in this organization. I was thinking of babies sleeping on cold concrete. So I feel like I don't have time to figure out what my staff likes or what they want or what they think is right. We just need to do this. Hello, my name is Rhonda Gray. I am a business performance advisor with Insperity. You have to invest in people and have them feel better about themselves and particularly their roles in the organization if you want them to buy in whatever you're doing. Even if, all efforts are going to be a change effort, because anytime you're trying to progress and advance and move forward, you're asking people to do something differently or be someone different than who they are. And you have to make them feel good about that. Individuals have to be built up in order for the organization to grow.
There have been several times when my passion, my focus, my excitement about my dreams and goals have been all-consuming. So much so that I no longer saw people standing in front of me, but objects to help me get what I want or obstacles that needed to be overcome. Like taking a cross-country road trip, I was not going to stop more than absolutely necessary. No bathroom breaks, no sit-down meals, no special excursions to see the world's biggest whatever. We were going to make it to our destination, and we were going to do it in record time. Even if I had to drag people kicking and screaming. Unfortunately, this makes for an unpleasant experience for everyone not driving. This usually resulted in complaining, fighting, backtalk, and an I don't care if we get there attitude. Everyone seems to become a problem. But as Rhonda said, there is another way. Empathy, aligning values with vision, coming alongside our people, connecting them personally to the end goal, including them in the process and the benefits, seeing them as people, people of worth. If you want high ROI, oozing empathy is for you. Make sure you connect with Rhonda on LinkedIn.
The Breakthrough Moments podcast is a presentation of Core Authenticity, providing powerful lessons in bite-sized episodes. For more information about Jeff's coaching, keynotes, books, or to hear additional podcast episodes, visit coreauthenticity.com. Schedule a conversation with Jeff today. Make the next moment your breakthrough.